If you would, turn to the passage, Matthew 28, 18 through 20. And Jesus came and said to them, "All authority on heaven and in earth has been given to me. Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you. And behold, I am with you always to the end of the age." Let's go to the Father today. Would you just start today telling the Father that you love him? The Heavenly Father who made you in his own image, he loves you, and he's never gonna be tired of just hearing that you love him back. So just remind him today, let him hear from your lips to his ears that you love him. And then would you move into a time of just being grateful, being thankful? There is no lack of things that God has blessed us with. And one thing we say at this church is that if God never gives us another thing, the cross was enough. So would you just spend time today just telling God what you're thankful for? Would you move into a time of praying for those who you know are in need? Praying for those who overlap into your life, the people that you have seen struggle, maybe people who are going through health issues, people who have financial struggles, maybe spiritual struggles. Would you just stand in between for them today? And then we pray for those around us, pray for those here today. Would you pray that they would be challenged? Pray that they would be blessed and encouraged today? And then we move into a time of praying for the nation of America, a place where God's name has not been growing as it should, where so many other worlds, so many other nations, we're seeing great increases, but in America, we need God's name to be made known. Would you just pray today that the harvest is plentiful, but would you pray for laborers? Pray for those who would make God's name known in this nation. And then pray for the world, maybe connections you have to other nations, other places. Pray for God's name to be made known, to be exalted in these nations. And then come back to the Father and just tell him you love him again. He's never going to be tired of hearing that. Father God, we're just grateful for this day, grateful for this beautiful weather we have, Father. We know that the heavens declare the glory of God, that the skies proclaim the work of your hands, Father. And we're so grateful that we get to wake up and see that today. God, I pray today that though I'm bringing the message, Father, that this is your word, Father, that whatever word that you would speak through me, God, that you would speak louder than me, Father. Today, may we just be challenged, may we come to you humbly, just to look towards your word and to be reminded of your goodness, to be reminded of your sacrifice and the work that we have to do. God, we're just so grateful for you, grateful for your son and the gift of eternal life that we didn't earn, that we didn't do anything for, but that you have loved us anyway. God, let us just rest in that today and let us see that in your word. Father, we love you and praise you. It's in Jesus' name we pray, amen. Church, you can be seated. All right, well, you might have noticed that I'm not a 6'4", burly guy. My name is Logan Harvey, and Jeff is actually on vacation. He said it's the first one he's taken in I don't even know how long, and then Logan's doing Crossings Camp right now, doing worship, and Tucker actually came from Crossings Camp this morning, drove from Cedarmore to be here to give us worship. So thank you, Tucker. I appreciate you. But so I'm excited to do it. The last time I preached was in December, so I've had a little bit of time to prep for this one now, but I'm really excited. When Jeff told me he wanted me to preach on being sent, I was really excited to kind of take that up. We've been in a series in 2 John going through not loving the world, not loving the things of this world, and that's going to carry us into so much what it means to be sent, because now we move on to where do we place our love? If we know it doesn't go to the world, where do we take it from here? And so that's where I kind of get to pick up today. And I couldn't think of anywhere better to start than Matthew 28, 18 through 20. This is known better as the Great Commission, if you've ever heard of that term. And we get to see Jesus, right? Like, he's about to ascend into heaven. It's the last kind of bit of time on his earth. And this is what he chooses to say with his last words, with some of his last time, is he gives us this call as believers to go. Right? He says, all authority has been given to him. So then we go and we make disciples of all nations. And so if we're going to start anywhere, I'm not going to read this whole verse. We're going to come back to it. But we have to start by knowing God. Right? Like, if we want to be a part of this mission that Jesus Christ has given us himself, he's given it to every one of us, it has to start by knowing Jesus, right? And so that's where we start today, is how do we truly know God, right? Like, he's given us, we hear it all the time, like people say, what does it mean to know God, or how can we know who he really is? And first and foremost, it's through his word. We have the word of God, and it's really easy to see from Genesis to Revelation, God's heart has been on display the entire time. And so when we're thinking about like knowing God, I think the first place I always go to about what does he desire for us is Genesis 1:26. It's right after the creation story, right after everything has been made. And as God's word says this, then God said, let us make man in our image after our likeness, and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, and over the birds of the heavens, and over the livestock, and over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creeps on the earth. So first off, what we're seeing here, right? Like, God has made creation, and it said everything is good, everything is perfect. And what does he say? He says, let us make man in our image. God is choosing to set us apart from the rest of creation, but he does it so that we can rule over this world. From the very beginning, we see God didn't just make us to leave us alone. He didn't make us to just set us up and then walk off. But he wanted to rule with us. He designed this whole world so that we could have a part in sharing with him. And then we go to the end. We go to Revelation 21, 1 through 4. Then I saw a new heaven and a new earth. For the first heaven and the first earth had passed away, and the sea was no more. And I saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. And I heard a loud voice from the throne saying, behold, the dwelling place of God is with man. He will dwell with them, and they will be his people, and he will be, God himself will be with them as their God. He will wipe away every tear from their eyes, and death shall be no more. Neither shall there be mourning, nor crying, nor pain anymore, for the former things have passed away. So we get this beautiful moment. At the beginning, God says, I want us to come together. He says, I want to make man in our image, and we're going to share in this creation. And then at the end, he says the same thing, but this time he says, not only are you going to share in creation, but I'm going to be with you. It's going to be better because I'll be there with you. So through the whole thing, what we see, if we're going to know God, you have to know that he's desiring a relationship with you. He desires not just to you to know about him, but he desires a true connection to you, to each and every one of us. He didn't just make us in his image to leave us alone, but he made us in his image so that we can share with him, so that we can be in relationship with him. And that's just such a beautiful picture. When we think of, he made us from the start, Genesis 1, he made us. And then we left him, we all sinned. Adam and Eve, the very first sin, they broke us away. And now we're all born into sin. We are separated from God, and every one of us has not met the standard. Romans 6:26 says, for the wages of sin is death. Right? Like, our penalty is death for what we've earned. But God says, I loved you enough, I love this whole world, my creation enough, that I can't deal with it, that I'm not going to let us sit in that because we can't get ourselves back to God. And so what did he do? He sent his son to die for us. He lived on this earth perfectly, and then he died. And then he rose, and then he ascended, not just so that we could look at him and be, wow, that's cool, I'm glad you did that, but so that that bridge that was broken could now be repaired and we could go back to the Father. And so that's the picture of the gospel. If we want to know God, we have to start by knowing that truth. Start by knowing that first and foremost, that there was nothing you could do to make your way to heaven. There was nothing any of us could do to reach God, but God bridged that gap for us. He sent his son down so that we could love him, we could be in relationship with him, and then we can get to heaven, not through anything we've done, not through anything we could ever do, but only through the gift of the Father. So if we know that truth, that's where we start. Church, that's where we get to pick up. And I'm going to say this a couple times throughout, but a trick of the enemy that so many people, I hear this all the time when I share with people in college, is it's really easy to know God. It's really easy to know that truth. They're like, okay, Jesus saved me, but so many people stop there. So many people just are okay. They're like, okay, well, I can believe in that. I can believe that Jesus did that for me. But they never take that next step towards following in that relationship. And that's kind of what I want to get to today. If we're going to be a sent people, we can't just know God. We can't just know about the things of him, but we have to do the things of God. Look at Matthew 7:21. Not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven, but the one who does the will of my Father who is in heaven. This is a verse that, like, I was always really confused about hearing. I remember Jeff would bring this up, and I would sit back in the back over there, and I'd be like, okay, Jeff, that's a weird one. I don't know what that means, but whatever. And now, like, I read it, I get to hear God's word, and I say, oh my goodness, like, it's not just about what you know. It's not just about who do you know. It's about, are you doing the will? God has made a way for us to be in relationship with him, but it's not just being in relationship. It's that as we hear about him, as we spend time with him, he changes us. He begins to change our hearts to reflect his. If we're made in the image of God, the more time we spend with the Father, the more we should be growing to look like him. Look at Deuteronomy 6:4-6. This is one of my personal favorite verses in scripture. Israel has just come. They're into the promised land. They're about to enter, and they've gotten on the cusp, and then Moses is, the Ten Commandments have happened, and then we get this beautiful thing where God is telling the people what he wants. Verse 4, Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your might. And these words that I command you today shall be on your heart. And then he goes into all these commands. The next, like, 20 verses is this list of all these things that God has previously told them to do. And it's not just a picture of, okay, well, I hear and I'm okay with that. But he says, Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one. And then he goes in all these commands afterward. And one thing I tell the students and youth all the time is that the Ten Commandments aren't just, they're not just a way for us to, like, be separated from God or, like, rules to put on us to that we, like, can feel bogged down. But we have all these commandments because God is trying to give us ways that we can be in better relationship with him. If our natural way of life is without these commandments, God has said, you've seen what happens when you don't follow my ways. You've seen what happens, and it's not great. The people of Israel have seen this themselves. We've seen this ourselves. When we don't follow God, look what happens. The world is broken. It's messed up because we are broken, and we are messed up. But God gives us a way to change that. He gives us a way to repent and to turn to him. Amen. And so, thank you, Tara. And so, what we do today is we don't just know that, right? Like, if we want to truly know God, knowing God is doing the will of the one who sent him, right? Like, it's us taking time to spend time with God, spend time in his word, spend time in prayer. And I don't know how many times I can ever hear that in my life, but the more you do it, the more you see God's character, you can't not be changed. The more you see his heart and how different it is from yours, you can't reconcile that by just sitting around. You can't just look at that and say, I'm okay with that. Because God is so different from us, right? Like, God, he says, my thoughts are not your thoughts, my ways are not your ways. And God has given us a new heart. He says, I'm going to change you into something you could never be. And that's an image bearer of him. That's a picture of him. And so that's where we start. If we want to be sent, if we want to see this world made, his name made great, we have to know him. We have to be looking at him and doing the will of the Father. And I think One of the best places that we see this talked about, when I was in India this past summer, we talked about this a lot, and it's this passage right here, 2 Corinthians 5, 17 through 21. So we get to this place where Paul, the Apostle Paul, he's writing the letter of Corinth, and he's like, all right, we get to this part where he's saying, we're talking about a new body, a new creation that will come. But he comes in before and he says, all right, we've got a new body, we're going to get there. But we look to who's already around us. Look towards the people that are around you. He's writing to the people of Corinth. He says, look to those who need God around you and realize that they're not just earthly bodies, but they're eternal souls. And then he says this, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old has passed away. Behold, the new has come. So what do we see in verse 17 right here? First off, we see, he says the old has passed away, right? Like this is a good reminder for me. It's a good reminder for all of us, is if you are in Christ, you can't have the old life and the new. It's one or the other, right? Like that picture of baptism that we get, that is death to life. When you go under the water, it's a symbol that you have died to yourself. You're crucifying the ways of your flesh, but you raise up in Christ in a newness. And he says, get rid of it, right? Like if you are in Christ, get rid of the things of the world. They have no place in your life. And that's what we've talked about with Jeff these past few weeks, is don't give the world the love it's craving, but that love goes to the Father. Verse 18, all this is from God, who through Christ reconciled us to himself and gave us the ministry of reconciliation. That is, in Christ, and then I'll get to that. But I think what we see here is that God did the work. He's saying, Paul puts this up perfectly. He's saying, it's not you. It's not you, the one who brought yourself to God. He's saying, God did this for you. He gave you reconciliation so that you can be in part of the reconciliation. Verse 18, 19, there it is. That is, in Christ, God is reconciling the world to himself, not counting their trespasses against them, and entrusting to us the message of reconciliation. That's what a verse of the gospel right there is, that God didn't count our trespasses, our sins, our the weight of what we have earned. He didn't count it against us, but he says he counted it against his son so that we could have that ministry of reconciliation. And then here's the kicker, verse 20. Therefore, we are ambassadors for Christ, God making his appeal through us. We implore you on behalf of Christ, be reconciled to God. Man, and then verse 21, for our sake, he made him to be sin, who knew no sin, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God. How great is it that God, an eternal God who can do whatever he wanted to, he can make the rocks cry out for him, but yet he chose us. He chose us to be the people who would make his name known. He chose broken, messed up, nasty people to go out to other broken, messed up, and nasty people. And God has given us that gift because it's the same thing from his heart from Genesis to Revelation, is that God says, I want you to share in the work with me. It's not just, I'm going to be your God. He says, I want you to be with me. I want you to share in my kingdom. And that starts with us here. He calls us his ambassadors. Man, what a title that is, to be God's ambassador. And if we're being honest, I think we take that title too lightly a lot of times. I know I do. I don't give it the weight it deserves to be God's ambassador. If he wants to make his appeal to this world through us, man, we got to take that call seriously. If we're going to be ambassadors, then we got to live like it. It starts by knowing God. It starts by spending time with him. And then it starts by being willing to be changed by him. We read his word to let it read us. And I think there's a pastor in Lexington. His name is Nick Parsons. And he says this all the time, and I love it. He says, a life lived for God is made up of days lived for God. I think that's such a good reminder. And I think that is what Paul is getting at here, is that, all right, if you want to be Christ's ambassador, it has to start with you being here for Christ now. You have to choose every day to be with Christ and to be on mission where you are. And so I think in college, I've seen this a lot. I've seen this in a lot of really great ways that have prepared me in ways that I am far grateful for, is that we get like one big area of college, especially at a school like UK, a big SEC school, where it's like 40, 30,000-ish people, right? And you get so many different worldviews, so many different people with so many different ideas, is that that's a mission field. That's a massive mission field. And one of the biggest things we talk about is how can you be intentional with where you already are, right? Like how can you use where God has placed you to be intentional to make his name known? And I think a verse that we see this really easily in is 1 Corinthians 10:31. So whether you eat or drink or whatever you do, do all to the glory of God. I say this verse all the time to myself because it's a reminder that everything we do is a gospel opportunity. Everything we say, everything we think, everything we do is meant to be for the glory of God. If you're familiar with Crossings Camps, one of the biggest things they tell the staff, I worked there 2 years ago, is that everything you do is for the gospel. They tell us when we would be washing dishes, right? Like we're sitting there scrubbing the mess these kids have made. Like you would get a syrup plate and you're just devastated because it's 8 a.m. You got 3 hours of sleep and there's this kid's nasty syrup plate in front of you. And our leaders would come up to us and say, hey, like it's for the gospel. Everything you're doing here, whether you're washing dishes, whether you're doing a small group, whether you're cleaning up trash that you saw on the road, right? It's for the gospel. Do everything to the glory of God. And that's where we start. That's where we get our reminder, is to look towards God and to be spending time with him and doing everything to his glory. And Jeff talks about this a lot when he says, be faithful where you live, work, learn, and play. And now I love that. I love that where he says that. It's not some like elaborate scheme or something. Like it's not just this crazy thing that he came up with one day. It's like, it's just the idea of how can we think of where God has already placed us, where we live in our homes, where we work or learn, where that's school, your job, where you play, the things you do outside. Like how can we see those as gospel opportunities, as missional opportunities, right? Because this world is too short to just use like, okay, well, I've got the time for my life, and then here's my mission time, right? Like God says, I don't want you to have my time and mission time for me. He says, do those together, right? Like your life isn't meant to be lived for yourself. It's meant to be lived with God, that we would be reconciling others to him, right? So we have to be aware of what's around us. One of the things that college teaches us the most, that taught me the most, was to open my eyes, to not be focused on myself so much, but to look towards those around me, to look out at the world that was desperate for the gospel. And I get to share a really great story from that. So this semester at the BCM, some friends and I had looked around, and we through a lot of prayer and a lot of just reading God's word and just being broken for things we saw in the College of Fine Arts, We had just been praying, and then in one of our leadership meetings at the BCM, they said, our campus minister said, what would it look like for you all to just like go to be evangelists where you already are? And me and this group of friends, we sat down and we realized there's an opportunity for us here where this College of Fine Arts, we've seen people who somewhat know God, we've seen people who verbally and very clearly hate God, hate his word. We've seen everything from like, yeah, I could follow God, to get away from me. How dare you talk to me about God? When we'd seen all that, and like, we saw that need and our hearts were feeling broken for the College of Fine Arts. And so we said, all right, what can we do? And a group of us was like, all right, well, what if we just do like a discovery Bible study? It's not going to be anything crazy. It's like us teaching. It's just going to be, hey, if you're interested in knowing about God, we're just going to be here and we're going to be talking about what does his word say? Like, let's find out what he actually says. Ask any questions. And so we got together. We started telling people. And there's this one guy. I'm not going to tell you his name, but because I know he would hate it if I did. But he started coming to this discovery Bible study. And I remember sitting out there looking at him, and I was like, wow, that he asks a lot of really weird questions, and I never thought he would come back after our first day, because he did not seem like he was doing well. And he didn't come back for a little bit. And then he started showing up again around February, March, and I was like, oh, well, this is cool. He's coming back. Like, kind of made my heart happy a little bit. I was like, yeah, like, oh, you're coming back. And then as I got to see him continue to come back, I would catch him on campus every now and again. And he would find me, I know, like I'd be sitting at Champs, which is our dining hall, eating lunch, and he would come up to me and he would ask me some random question about God's word. And I was like, oh, that, like, one time he asked me about the dinosaurs. And I was like, okay, like, I guess I can give you something there. It's not, the Bible isn't very clear on that, so we can put that off for another day. But like, he would just come up to me and ask all these questions. This guy that I had been in class with, this guy that I had seen for years, and like, I've just been seeing him, and but now, right, like I'm looking, I'm saying, I pray every day, God, give me an opportunity, give me an opportunity. And this guy just keeps coming back. He just keeps coming back. And then one day, right, like we have our Bible study. He asks some questions as he always does. And then we go and he's like, I'm like, all right, I'm going to go home. I'm tired. I'm a cheapskate. I'm not going to go get ice cream. He's like, no, you're getting ice cream. So I go. I go with him to get ice cream at Crank and Boom. And we sit down and he says to me, how do I know if I'm saved? And I realized in that moment, this is like, I said, God, how dare I almost not go to this moment just because I didn't want to pay a penny. But then he asked me again, how do I know if I'm saved? I don't know what it means to be saved. And he said, am I saved? And so I sit down and we start having this conversation. We finished our ice cream at this point. He's like, I'm not done. Like keep in mind, there's a group of people with us. And he's like, I'm not done. So we all go over to Goodfellas in the Distillery District and we're sitting down and I mean, crazy scene, right? Like over here, I have like all my friends, like just having a good time, eating pizza. Me and this guy over here, and probably in one of the like deepest conversations at a bar table at Goodfellas. And so I'm sitting here like, wow, God, like praise you that I get to have this opportunity, right? Like, and he's sitting here, and then like we get to the point, he's in tears, and he says like, I don't have a relationship with God, and I see that I need that. And church, like, I can't tell you how much joy I felt in that moment. Like, I cannot physically express to you, like, how that changed me to see this guy who had just been coming, that I had seen for at least a couple years of my life, that I had known, that I had seen about, but then I see him in a new light. I see him as an image bearer of God, who God had already been working in his heart, right? It was like, it's nothing I did. It wasn't me who was like bringing him to God. God had been working in his heart and I was just there at the right time. I was just there when God needed me to be there to say, hey, how can we look at a relationship with Christ? And so now, like he gave his life to Christ there, eating a pepperoni pizza at Goodfellas and crazy time, but he is now like, I get to disciple him. And church, I get to see him change, right? Like, I think one of the coolest things about a new believer is like, they're on fire for God. Like they get this moment where it's just like, every time I see him, he's asking me questions and I see him changing his life, right? Like things about him that like didn't honor Christ before, he comes to me and he says, I don't know if this is good in my life. Like if this is what I'm reading in the Bible, he says, is this what I should be acting like? And I get to see him change. I get to see him reflect the character of God. Not of anything I did, but because I was faithful to look up, to keep my eyes up to where God already had placed me, to where I had been for 2 years and hadn't really chosen to use that opportunity. But God said, look up, see where I'm doing the work and step in with me. And so that's what live, work, learn, and play is for. It's for us, right? Like it's for us to look up to who's around us, to the places where you already have influence, where people already know you, where people already are comfortable with you. And it's to say, how can I use this time intentionally, right? Like if this world is passing away, right? And if we have a limited clock, right? Like we're not gonna live forever. We know that. Why wait? Why wait for the time when, oh, maybe a conversation will come? Man, if you start praying, God, would you give me an opportunity today to share with this person? Father, would you give me an opportunity to make your name known? The Father's going to answer that request. But are you going to be willing to step up when he asks you to, is the question. And so if we want that, then we have to be willing to do the work on the front. We have to be willing to spend time with God. And then we have to be willing to go. We have to be willing to go where we already are and use that mission field. Luke chapter 10, verse 2. And he said to them, The harvest is plentiful, but the laborers are few. Pray earnestly to the Lord of the harvest to send out laborers into the harvest. Think about someone right now that you know. I have a list of people that I keep on me that I pray for daily, people that I know are in desperate need of the gospel. And I encourage each of you to have a list of people that you know. Maybe it's yourself. Maybe you don't know who God is, right? But like, we pray for these people and pray for those opportunities, right? Like, if we look towards this town, if we look towards this county, if we look towards the nation, right? There is no lack of people who don't know God. There isn't a lack of people. God tells us this. He says, the harvest is plentiful. Like that guy that I get to disciple, right? Like, God had done the work. The harvest is ready. Like, it's a message from God. And he says, I've done the work. I'm working in hearts, but the laborers are few, right? Like, we don't have a lack of people going, like, who need to know God, you know? We have a lack of people who are willing to tell them about God. And that's where we come in. God has given us this message. He's given us his heart so we can share in relationship with him and in the work of his kingdom. Man, how good is that message, right? That God would choose broken people to reach other broken people, right? So as I kind of close here with, I just want to read Matthew 28 one more time. He said, Jesus came and said to them, all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I've commanded you, and here's the gift. And behold, I am with you always to the end of the age. God says, I'm with you through it. It's not about what you could ever do, but it's a gift of how I can show you my power through you. And so if we want to make him known, right? Like if we want to look towards this world as it is, broken, messed up with people who couldn't do anything to get themselves with God, it starts with us knowing God. Right, it starts with us spending time with the Father and asking us that hard question, is do I truly have a relationship with God? That's where we start, is do you know the Father? If you're in here today and you don't know who God is, if you don't have a true relationship with him, then that's your first step. He makes it easy. He says, all you have to do is repent and believe, right? All you have to do is confess with your name that Jesus is Lord and that he died and was raised from the dead, right? Jesus, he says, all you have to do is come to me and I will make you a new creation. So we start there. You have to make his name known by first starting by knowing his name and knowing who he is in your heart. And then once we know God, once we know who he is and once we're spending time with him, our question is, are we willing to let him change us? Are we willing to let go of what we had, willing to let go of who we were, emphasis on were, to become who we could be, right? Like God didn't save to make us better. He died to make broken people, to make dead people alive. And that's where we start is, are we willing to let God change us? Are we willing to let his heart overtake ours? That we would be broken for those around us, that we would look out and we would see the creation that he made as he does, that we wouldn't be mad at these people, mad at those who do evil things or those who do these things, but we would feel just utterly broken that creation has come so far from God. And then we have to look at where are we now, right? Like if we have a relationship with God and we're willing to let him change us, to grow in him and to be a part of his work and his kingdom, then we ask, where are we right now? Where has God already placed me? Where has God already placed you? That you can go and be intentional. That you can make his name known where he's already putting relationships up for you to do that. And so when I wrote this, it was convicting for me, right? Like I don't say all this saying like I'm perfect or like this is like a message that we all need to hear multiple times, right? Like we all need to be reminded that God is the only one doing the work. He's the one doing it, and we need to just join in that with him. And so I'm going to invite the band back up, and we're going to have a time of invitation. And I invite you to just reflect. I invite you to just wrestle with whatever is going on in your heart, right? Like, I promise you, God is not confused about the relationship that you have with him, right? Like he's not looking down and saying, I wonder where we're at right now. So take time today, I invite you. There's gonna be counselors up front and you can pray with them or pray where you are, but just spend time with the Father today. He never gets tired of hearing from you, and we all need to grow. We always all need to be conformed more to the image of God, right? Like there's always more. We're never gonna reach perfection on this earth. We're never gonna reach God on this earth. But every day we continue to change the aspects of ourselves that don't reflect him, the parts of our minds and our hearts and our lives that don't reflect him, and we begin to look more and more like him. And so I invite you today to just spend time with God. Just reflect and saying, like, ask yourself those hard questions. Do I have a relationship with God? Have I really been willing to let him change me? And then am I willing to go out and make his name known like he has called each and every one of us to? The Great Commission isn't for pastors. It isn't for the missionaries overseas. It's for every believer who comes into relationship with him. And that's where we sit today. So the invitation is this. If you all would stand, counselors, find your place up front. The invitation is this. Whosoever will, for whatever reason, you come.